for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. As we were talking, we discussed in our previous episode how a person and or people within the man, women, days, okay, emotionally mature people are people who have conversations. So we're able to have our inner child healed or in healing mode. And you know that you are present with your emotions and your thoughts and you don't project, okay? So you talk truths, you don't lie, and you don't wear masks. And that is why we're all Pachas, the 5D collective, people who are working to be in securely attached functional adult relationships. So we are always expanding together. And I'm attachment trauma informed. I'm also a 5D mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group. Okay, so for me, my entire life, I've had my 0-1-year-old and my 3-7 A-okay because I learned how to self-regulate and that it's okay to have all those emotions and how to share the floor. So I'm a 3-year-old who knows that if the unfair word comes to my brain or if I get upset in any way, shape, or form, my 16-year-old is here with my 3-year-old and my 1-year-old, but I'm the higher self grown up of me as a mystic in the 5D plane, and that enlightenment soul age group, I have experiences that also I could share, which I won't right now, but that lead me to tell you, your oversoul, it doesn't matter, twin flames, soulmates, and any of that in the sense of what your romantic life will look like, okay? All of the oversoul supports a person. If you are a 5D mystic, you will have your inner child, your 3-year-old, Elsa's journey, you don't go on it. You're at the end of it. You know that you have a 3-year-old. And so any human being that you will meet, the moment you become self-aware with attention, awareness, and kind intent towards yourself and others, you apply the inner growth mindset, you know that your body brings up stuff and your mind translates it. You shut the left mode up and your body, you work with it. So you don't project low self-esteem, indirect communication, passive-aggressive. You don't cancel block people. You don't call people energy vampires. You don't do the dark aura. You don't go around saying you're a covert narcissist. You don't do any of that. Those are codependent human beings who have not gone to get their shit together. Okay. So when you're insulting people like that, or when I see different numbers of attachment coaches and just people all over the internet, whether it's an attachment coach, whether it's a twin flame coach, whether it's, again, channeled guidance, what I see, the good, and when I say good, I should specify, when I see my 5D groups, I can tell because they're leading people to become empowered and more loving and more humane. When I see the ones who lecture them like they're teenagers, well, I know that those people who will follow those people need them. What I look at is also, though, the comments, okay? So, and the titles. The titles tell me what the people who are trending, okay? So, if you are emotionally mature, you will not waste not even one precious moment of your time on any human being who makes it clear that they're lying to you and they're wearing a mask. And you did not give a shit about the story. That's why twin flames, soulmates, doesn't matter who you are from my oversoul. The minute my peripheral view becomes aware of your pattern, which it will because you are pattern like I am. The difference is I control my brain. No, I have ownership. I'm a self-aware, embodied, restorative human being. Restorative embodiment is a human being who is self-aware and they have no confusion of whatever emotions that come up from their human being body because they have no loss of their inner child. Okay, my open-hearted inner child is here. And I'm not seeking to attach to you. My 0-1-year-old is not attached, panicky. Maria is the grown-up version. And this is applicable when you don't do any deep personal development. I want to call you an asshole the rest of my life. Okay, so I personally chose to treat others the way I wanted to be treated. That's not only from my mouth, also from my brain. Because I'm a person who is very much not going to lie to myself. And so consistency means that what I speak is also what I feel, and what I feel is also what I do. And so I've never had that disconnect from my heart body and value body. That's being yourself. That's why I haven't changed. I've become a better and better and better and better version of myself. And that is actually, I've felt back home with myself as I settled into what is the restorative embodiment of me. And moved into the enlightenment soul age group. And that's because of me, the human being who owns the left mode of my brain, whenever shit came up, being able to not do, it's unfair, I don't like it, but instead do, Sadhguru, learning to live joyfully with things you do not like is a huge lesson in life. But see, life to me is not a lesson. I'm not being tested. This is a bullshit word. I've never used it. I got to learn about Jesus and God. As my catechism, I recall it very straightforward. I was not being tested. It was very clear what I was given as both those 10 basic commandments and learning to use Jesus as the example of how to walk the walk, talk the talk. I didn't need anything else. That's why when I did have my clairs open up, that day I knew that I would no longer belong completely to the community that is where I come from when it comes to spirituality. But I also knew, and I still know, that people of faith know that I'm a person of faith. I just go about it differently. But that's because those human beings are not ignorant. They're open-minded, and they aren't people of faith because somebody's reading scripture to them. They understand what the Holy Spirit stands for. So they will also, FYI, stay open to person as they hear who you are, you know, because again, when you're an open heart, others are an open heart if they're in conversation and growing intimacy with you. And that's not because you touch. It's because we're all being authentic. So nobody's lying. Nobody's wearing a mask. Any person who is intimate with their true self will know of another who is intimate with their self because our nervous systems speak to each other. Also because you can't lie your way through your nervous system, which is unfortunate for people that don't understand your thoughts affect your nervous system. And there's that. But let's get to our topic, shall we? So for me, it wasn't a lesson to live joyfully. It was, I have given you the gift of life. And you have two options in the choices that are good or not. Today, I know that we go beyond because I'm in the Enlightenment Soul Age group and because I'm attachment trauma informed. And there's a Patrick McNamara who proves the fear receptor in the brain of a person who has nightmare after nightmare. That's unfortunate. I have proof of what alters are in DID and how the brain works. So I didn't need that proof. I figured out people are not evil by the time I was like in my 20s. I told God, I continue my conversations, but it's not a relationship with the energy sphere. And it was time as I began to know more about life and into mysticism, I became, you know, so the concept of God is what I can share, but I already had God as the essence of love and life. So it was not hard for me to converse when I did and say, you know, I see that there's not really evil the way that the people from the churches are talking about. There's human suffering. I mean, there's people that make choices that aren't really kind. Yes, they have unkindness, my lovely listeners, for attachment wounds, childhood developmental trauma, for not knowing about their 0-1-year-old attached panicky and 3-7 shame submissive. So any person who's unkind, they're all in the corner with the evil scale of Michael Stone, forensic criminologist with therapists. That's where I put every single one of the people who doesn't know how to be their fun 3-year-old self yet, healthy self-worth. Okay, so a person who knows how to talk is a person who's going to be able to look you in the eyes and talk to you. The more they are empowered, the more they will be able to actually have mastery over their emotional plane because they're not taking anything personally. So politics, religion, you name it. You can have a conversation because they're enjoying themselves. That's what it means to be an emotional, mental, and physical grown-up. Okay, so you're not in an ego that is an adaptive child that is thinking you need to prove yourself because you feel I don't need to prove anything to you. I'm actually just having what is an interesting conversation to me. I want to make a difference in the world and I'm conversing though. So right now I'm socializing. I don't need to take anything personally, even if I'm debating. My heart can stay open. I don't need to prove shit. I want to be in a space. So depends how you come at any of your conversations. If you're thinking of the bigger picture, you're not thinking of proof. But in order for you not to think of, I need to prove myself, you have to have that self-empowerment. That's the open-heartedness and the awareness of how my charges are in my body. And it's very clear, as a teenager, I began this discourse, is I don't need to prove things, I'm talking about things. And that's because I'm not comparing myself to you. This is not a comparison. I know where I would allocate my time to try and have a debate. I know that right now I'm having what is a social engagement. And you choose how to walk this path of being an empowered person. Okay, so emotionally mature people, they want more friends, not less friends. They enjoy more people, excuse me. We can't have more. Too many people, you don't have enough time. And here's where for polyamory, when I hear human beings who say that the polyamory community overestimates, I think I read this one to you, the ability for humanity to use their brain. I'm like, no, nobody overestimates. the underestimating is what you have in my book. Because see, if I explain to you how your brain works, and I explain to you that trauma cannot be deleted, but you can minimize it, but it's only through either good therapy or your really, really, really hard awareness of your own maladaptive child behavior on your own, I'm going to say you can actually access that brain of yours. And that's because you're accessing what is your 0-1-year-old 3-7, and you become the empowered adult version of you, and that's become a faculty brain, putting into practice mind techniques, attention focused attention. So when you focus on your breath, it's like when you talk about mindfulness and awareness. Now, kind intention, that's because it'll activate your ventral vagal nervous system. If you don't have kindness or compassion, your body's going to think it's unsafe. And that's where neutrality is one of the ideal words to use. And then I'm an emotional being, and I'm going to look at my charges, likes and dislikes. Okay, teenager with the three-year-old, because that's anytime you're charged, you're a teenager with a three-year-old and a one-year-old. And you can consistently work your way to being an emotionally mature person who will unconditionally love not only you with flaws and imperfections, but also grow those relationships and always talk. And that's because you have an inner child healing and are healed and in the forefront. Okay. One, I think I had a story for you, but now I lost it. And two, I want to cover some data points that I know I've been mentioning from the other episode. And so here it goes. The people who think that we cannot handle our brains, the one who made this comment, she's a journalist, so I really didn't take her too seriously, but she's not the only one who thinks human beings can't use their brain. That's the part of where you find individuals who don't understand the brain, so they don't, and then they don't claim to own their emotions, meaning they, oh no, I'm not led by my emotions. Yes, you are. Your emotions lead you until you are the one who says, oh, wait a minute, I'm pissing my pants. Let me get my mood into, because your maladaptive child behavior is the mood that comes up that you will project. When somebody is an adaptive child, and that's a lot of people, they're liars and they wear masks because, you know, that's where they are not going to be pachas. That's what I mean by this. So they have a chip on their shoulder, ego sensitive, whatever it is. At some point, their triggers will come up. And so you'll know the three-year-old or the teenager, and that's about it. We learn how to recalibrate based on the patterns that come up, because it'll be a pattern. And we don't lecture people because, you know, we don't want to use our time. Plus, the adaptive child isn't listening to you. They are in their own world already, making whatever bullshit story that comes up in their brain, and they're ignoring that they have emotions that are leading that bullshit story. And then they're going to say, no, I see that my eye spies that you're an evil bitch or an evil witch because I said so. And let me ignore that I got this emotion up here in my heart that was triggered and that I'm upset about something, but you didn't do anything to actually deserve me calling you any of this. So I'm actively, and in fact, this is why the adaptive child needs Patrick Tiahan, because he will tell you about how that works. For people who don't have a healed inner child, they will project their perpetrator, which is their own home, their lack of security from home, onto a healthy, self-worth human being. And this is why a healthy, self-worth human being, even as a teenager, will know you're projecting and will not actually tell you anything. My teenage boyfriend, as he tells me that I have faith because I'm afraid, and I don't have faith because I'm afraid. I have faith because I feel it to be true. I'm a divine feminine with my own divine masculine again. And as I said, no, I feel it in my bones. I know that there's more to life. I'm not afraid of death. Yes, I don't like the idea of death. I, to this day, don't want to die. But no, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus and everything that I know from my catechism, because I feel it from my heart. And this human being went out of their way to consistently insist that it was not true. I knew it was projection because I had already been taught in my church how people reject God because something bad happens to them. Something sad happens to them. So they turn around and they have no more faith. And this boyfriend of mine had a friend who killed himself just shortly prior to us becoming boyfriend-girlfriend. And he has also influence of others in his home who say, no, there's only evil. and there's only this, and people, they only believe because they need something to believe in. So I know why this person is saying what they're saying, and they're projecting. And I was a teenager, and I didn't have this information. But even if I had had it, I'm not going to lecture you. I'm not your mother, and I'm not codependent. I don't need to approve of what's coming out of your mouth, because I'm a differentiated self. And you're telling me your subjective experience with your own, in fact, physiological response, behavioral response, and it's from your emotions, and it's from your determined past. So from events that took place in your life, not mine. So I know you're biased and tainted. Every single word that comes out of your fucking mouth is yours, and you're not taking ownership of your ego self, and I'm here, quote unquote, arguing. I wasn't arguing, because I'm not trying to prove it. I was stating what is a fact for the human being, Maria, over here. And to this day, again, I expand beyond the concept of what I was raised with, but not faith is the same feeling. I feel it in my bones, which is why I respect those who want to say mysticism, we're woo-woo, because I understand with my rational brain, they don't experience, perceive, or know any of what this plane is. But I'm also a person who loves to learn. And I learn from great people like Daniel Siegel, who has the relational field, and like in this course that I'm taking right now, consciousness and change. So I know that sciences has visibility on our clairs, on this relational field. I also know, though, as a mystic, that they have science. We don't need science. We experience. I experience downloads. That's amazing when you experience downloads as a 5D mystic. And that's where I actually realized that some people, when I share stories, I think they're just like listening, kind of like, wow, that's amazing. And then they'll present things that I don't think about. But some of them are you upset? Did you get upset about what you found out, for example, from some of the lives, some of what you have been? And I have never gotten upset. In fact, what I also realize is I don't even stop to think, wow, I just saw myself and what I have been. So this is the part of where it's not a big deal, because a grounded human being that has clairs is not lost in Elsa's journey. So we know our mind's eye like the back of our hand, because it's not something that you're attached to. As I have my identity, my name is Maria. I know who I am in this lifetime, and I know that I won't remember any of this in my next. I don't like that, which is why I loved being able to see my future. And I know why, because I know myself. Being here does not like when I would wake up from darkness, I would be very sad, because I was like, I don't want to forget my loved ones. And I knew that the idea of heaven, for example, and that we would stay in our form was something that was connected to me not wanting to detach from my loved ones, all people that I know, and however many get added. So I already knew that part about heaven and hell is a story, that because I didn't feel it true. I felt you're explaining to me something, but the reality is none of you have been afterlife. You're all just telling me your subjective experiences and reading. So, you know, again, a person who's using their brain will know what is a story versus what is felt as true. And what is felt as true is the energy sphere, which is why I can hear sciences and spirituality and bring them together. Sadhguru's spirituality, as for all these stories from ancient times, no, the stories give people that have downloads, explanations of things. So I don't get fixated on any of the years that I was here or not. And I've had so many lifetime downloads at this point that I would have to sit down for a lengthy time. I don't want to. It's a waste of my time. So what I get to do, though, if people that are my loved ones want to hear about it, I get to share with them. And if they don't take it seriously, I don't bother them with it, because that's unfair of me to bring them something that is basically woo-woo, okay? But when we do get to share, for the ones of you who know what downloads are like, I'm just saying. So, long story short, I personally haven't yet allowed myself to savor to the depths of everything, all of these lifetimes, which I probably won't, because it's one thing if you're sharing it with the person and or the people that are part of it. It's another thing if I just need to sit and think about it. There's nothing to think about. I will have seen what I will have seen, and I will have already known what I will have known. The downloads are pretty immediate. Basically, if I want to understand what does this have to do with my lifetime of now, Maria, I know. In fact, I got all my answers from my most recent download. And that's the part. People who don't make use of it, it's because they're not aware of their inner world and where they're headed. Those of us who are, we know where we're headed. Okay, so back to partnerships and what a person who is this lovely anthropologist, she shares about how when she began looking into love, that it's like Darwin says, or something about Darwin. She says love is related to our biology. And her academic colleagues said this is bullshit. And she's like, no, no, because if you procreate, you're going to live more life. So you're bringing forth that Darwinism, whatever. And so she begins to talk about how love involves brain systems and that it's not phases. And she did three different types of studies, apparently, throughout her years. I don't know what else she does now, but I don't know the sample, but it was about sexual attractiveness, romantic love, and attachment. Okay, so the sex drive would be, you know, to procreate. And that brain system there, that's how she's organizing it. Intense love, that focus, romantic. So this is where our, again, focus, attention, right? Awareness, and then kind of intense. So your mind is, that's why brain. Your mind decides that you're wanting, again, sex to procreate. Intense love can develop because you focus. And what you do find out about romantic love from other studies is appreciation and resonance. Okay, so you're not going to develop an intense sharing stuff and appreciation. You have to appreciate each other. That was the number one. This was from Usha Tamaranala, I forget her last name, but this is one of my NICAVM courses. And she reviewed a study that showed for couples, romance grows as they share appreciation for each other. If there's a lack of appreciation, that is what begins to have things dwindle. And that is why, yes, of course, I have a three-year-old. You have a three-year-old. The minute you talk down to me, the minute you have any kind of, you're a fucking joke, but you're meaning it, not you're teasing with me. No, you actually think that of me. And people don't realize that they don't appreciate each other because they don't appreciate differences. You can only appreciate differences if you're a healthy, self-worth human being. Because the minute somebody says something that you find stupid, you're not thinking of it stupid. Like when I was a teenager, I began using my magic word because it's insulting and not right of me to feel that way about anybody. This is a dishonor to the gift of life. So with my faith, I got given the awareness I was gifted life. I felt that to be true because I love life, which is where when you hear everything Sadhguru shares, it's all, to me, related to what I grew up with, which is why it has changed how I have to use the word, so consciousness, Akash, but it's the same concept that my child self had learned with God and then Jesus as that example. Okay, so when you do know that you've been given this precious gift and you will not wait till your deathbed, thank you, Sadhguru, you don't appreciate liars and masks, emotionally unavailable, attachment wounded, and trauma wounded human beings who don't go and get care of their stuff, but they bring their maladaptive child behavior to you, and they want to then make it out to be like you did something wrong when you just shared unconditional love. Then they decided to come in and out, go no contact, switch it up, whatever it is, it don't matter. But the part of how they handle when you ask questions is the element that is key to me and them. Me, the minute I present to you that I'm confused, and that has happened, and you act in a specific way, I'm a healthy, self-worth woman. Oh, you better bet I'm not going to lecture you. No, no, no. I'm recalibrated. the minute that you will have treated what I come, when I come to you with a question from my heart, and you don't have room or time, and then you also have a manner, it's not unfair. No, you gave me a very great data point. And I'm going to breathe, and I'm going to take it back. And because, see, this is the part, I'm going to behave in the way that I would want to be treated. This is why I'll never say it's not self-serving. Of course, I learned from how would I want to be treated if I fucked up big time. Well, I'd want to be treated with patience, because I don't like if you're going to yell in my face about it. There you go. Nobody wants to be yelled in their face, okay? So that part of breath and of choice is from my left mode, chit-chatting in my head. How do I want to be handled when I was presented? Okay, treat people the way you want to be treated. All those asshole teenagers. And thinking, well, I'm not going to behave like them. They're not actually nice. And why would I behave not nicely? Then I wouldn't be able to say I can sleep at night well, okay? And knowing that you can't prove intent. Oh, I found that one out too. Thank you, teenage boyfriend, all of the people. So I had gotten rid of all these areas that teenagers get to present to each other by using my left mode as my emotions came up, as well as not be sensitive. Not take things personally. Oh, you take things so personally. Okay, I won't take it personally. And attachment. So right here, number three, attachment. That's where you can stick with it to raise one child through infancy is how she presents this. Okay, so she presents what love is in a romantic way and as a part of our biological pattern as a human species. And so that's why sex drive to procreate. Intense romantic love is you focus on each other and you're just so into you. And then that attachment is that we're going to stick together so we can raise that child who needs at least 1 year. Consistent though, contingent communication, meaning they to be able to be securely attached. Infant, 1 year. Then 3 to 7 is also important because if there's ruptures with no repairs, we have an attachment wounded person. And that's why we have then every person that is out there entertained with the shitty romantic. That's not romance. They're all bad partners. Anyone who doesn't know how to have a conversation, in my book, you're not partners, grown-ups. You're not grown-ups. You're not knowing how to use your three-year-old, your tone. You need good therapy. You need something. You're going to say, no, I don't need. Okay, then go be in the human suffering love. That ain't love for the human love people. Because I know how to use my brain. I know how to use my mouth. I know how to say, yeah, I have feelings. What are you going to do about it? Nothing? Okay, cool. I know how to tend to my feelings. You're not going to shame me about it because teenagers already did that. No, they didn't shame me. They made me aware of, are you going to cry? I'm going to learn how not to cry. Oh, and not because I feel helpless. Because see, here's the difference between a whole inner child. I never felt helpless or hopeless. And I'm not... This is what makes me sad for those people who don't understand that they were made to feel helpless and hopeless in a year that is the first 3 years of your life is implicit memory. And so when they meet a healthy, self-worth human being, they will actually twist it to where you are not true and I'm going to label you an evil human being and I'm going to come after you. And if there's one thing that completely makes me sad, not mad, because see, mad means anger is where you want to correct. I don't want to correct you. I'm not your parent. Not to mention that I cannot, one, correct your nervous system from having had not secure attachment, number one. So I don't need a belief system. That's why. No, I have information, uno. Two, you're not even telling me what you think in my face. You're not even giving me the opportunity to say what I can say. But even if you did, because you're convinced as a teenager will be of you knowing everything and you are in your little pissy mode, FYI, because this is where it's all implicit and you don't have attachment. You don't know anything about being a human. If you did, then you would know everything I'm explaining, which most people that I meet don't, which is why they go around looking online for how do I get my avoidant attachment act? You go to therapy, but go to therapy. That's how it feels when you know healthy self-worth. And it isn't let me spite you. No, it's get your shit together, then come talk to me about love. Because I already know love. And I already know a lot of people, they don't even bother with any of what I just said. That's why. So they'll do their thing and then they'll get in your face And when you're used to people getting in your face for not good reasons, but it's the whole he said, she said, because that's all it's going to ever be, my lovely listeners, unless something else happens, which we don't want to happen. So every conversation that will ever happen in your life will be a he said, she said. And when I meet people that are like my teenage boyfriend was, I already learned, because he touched a very, 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 very important topic, which is something that is not reversible. I feel it in my bones that we are one big ball of energy, and that's not a figure of speech. I feel it through and through, and it has never disconnected. So the minute you come to me with any buffoonery, I had already learned how I won't be able to prove my heart, I won't be able to prove my mind, I won't be able to prove shit, and I'm not going to try to. I'm just going to say, huh, how would I want to be treated in this situation? Oh yeah, I'd like to be treated with a conversation, because I got treated that way when I would be all emotional, right? So, yeah, it's not people that use words to, it's not insulting. It's you had your opinion. Thank you for sharing it. I appreciate it. Good to know. And, you know, you move on. Okay, so back to our lovely, because there's another very important part about this, these studies that she shares. Okay, she shares, therefore, love, romance, relationship. It's a bunch of different, these three brain systems as she shares it. It's not the only way that they talk about love. And then she expands to cover a couple of studies that they looked into. And so obviously when you have good sex together, there's the dopamine. And so that creates the ability to focus your attention on each other. Once romance is involved, this is where you will have happy, intense feelings. And obviously when you're in love long term, it's because you've developed the attachment. And that's secure. So you have a creature and it's very dynamic. Obviously, healthy people know about whether they're with a therapist or their healthy self-worth themselves. It's all about being able to talk. Nobody has ego-sensitive shit go down and projection. When, on the other hand, you are a person, though, who doesn't have complete ownership of your mind, your heart, your gut, okay? So when you're not yet fully self-aware with the desire to self-regulate, okay? Just saying. Because if you have the desire to self-regulate, you're not going to be a subject to your emotions. You're going to choose to work with yourself and your emotions and present them in conversations. But when people don't do any of this, this is where it explains the addiction stuff that other people go through. And by other people, I mean the ones who don't grow to use their brain like we're talking about. Okay. Studies have found that when rejection happens, because she says she looked to figure out the problem of when you're rejected and in love, when you get dumped, because she wanted to help and she still does help. But what happens when you get rejected? And there's two areas of the brain that light up. One area that lights up when you are in love. That's the, let me go find, it's called the ventral tegmental area, VTA. Okay, so when you're in love and then you get dumped, the VTA, this ventral tegmental area, lights up. Also, you will have another area light up, but the VTA, when it lights up, this is why when you're dumped, you don't just have this, I don't love you anymore. Okay, you're still gonna feel that love, it's still activated in the brain. What also activates when you get dumped is the pain region. Okay, so she's listing the areas of the brain that light up when you get rejected from sample studies. I don't know how big or how small. Okay, so we got the VTA, then we got the pain region, like if you have a toothache, and then the addiction brain areas are activated. The addiction brain areas is this nucleus accumbens. And that's the basic brain region that becomes active when you get addicted to cocaine, heroin, alcohol, cigarettes, and gambling. And so when you're rejected and dumped after having fallen in love, there's this addiction phase where you will have intense feelings and you will have to work through, if you will, that process of, okay, I got dumped, now I'm going to get over it. What I wanted to share is for people who are empowered emotionally, mentally, and physically, we don't have that, which is why we don't have the 5D mystic, no obsession or addiction to our twin flames in a way of being, I'm going to die inside because they left me. And we will know when you're aware of yourself and you have a good relationship with your emotions and you have a good relationship with people. So rejection doesn't mean protection. Rejection doesn't mean recalibration. Rejection is not a word you use because of what relationships are to you when you're a healthy, self-worth, healed, whole inner child or grown-up, okay? The grown-up who has, I have an ego self. Remember that the inner child, some people describe that three-year-old as your ego. I use ego self, but I'm going to organize it this way so you can understand that three-year-old of you is yours, but it's only if you have allowed yourself to say, you know what, I am imperfect and flawed like anybody else. I will treat people the way I want to be treated, and I will look to be a person who talks, not shame, not blame, not fault, and not use any type of revenge, vindictiveness, or any of those actual teenagerish, I call them attitudes, because why? That's not going to be something you're going to look at. Oh, how proud am I of myself? Oh, how great. I did the right thing. No. Right thing is the right silence when you have an adoptive child. Right thing is to lead once you get older as a respectable member of humanity who can actually use your mouth. If we need to say what right is being able to have what is a conversation, because that is the only way that I'm going to actually be able to enlighten you and I, each other, and make a difference. So that's why right, if you ask me what right means expansion, not destruction. And when it comes to people yelling in their face, you're not enlightening shit. You have just created an unsafe territory. So the matter of fact is, if you don't know how to handle yourself as an equanimous, unflappable, functional adult, you are not yet ready to be any authority. But we have the 7 of 14 charming bullshit people out there. And that's because we have Pinocchios with ears and tails out there after the island who are still, you know, in the in-between. So we're going to leave that to the side and finish focusing up on us. Anybody who is the owner of themselves will not be addicted. They will understand that they're processing a relationship once it's over. And that's about it. And also, by the way, that doesn't mean you stop loving them. Some of us are polyamory. Others are monoamory. And so this is also an equation that we can look at from a securely attached, functional adult human being. Doesn't say they love you and then they take it back. And when you are a person who also is committed to your word, you're not going to have a way of wanting something to be the way you want it. Okay, so now that we have established at least some of the aspects I wanted to look at, we'll use a story, but I'm going to integrate different stories. I'm not going to specify any of it, but I will use part of things that I've experienced personally and then integrate where I would want you to understand what an emotionally mature, you know, whole three-year-old heart, again, an inner child, it's a healthy, self-worth person, when you're handling situations with emotionally unavailable people, okay? Because emotionally available is very straightforward. You know, I'm having questions about what we are doing, where we're headed. I want to talk about this. Okay, let's talk. So we talk. Okay, so here's the deal. What are we building together? Okay, if you decide to tell me, I'm uncertain. We'll see how we play it. We'll play it by ear. Okay, but if you talk to me about exclusivity, then I am hearing the word exclusive. If you talk to me, we're building, then I'm hearing the word building. I'm not hearing we're playing this by ear. So the minute that you start playing things by ear, I'm going to ask, okay, we had, what's happening? And this is the moment of truth, because if you're not emotionally accountable, aware, reflective, and you don't basically want to answer my question, but you get reactive, and you twist something, now I have my data point. Okay, I am not on the same page with this person, and they are not actually having a conversation with me. Okay, so I'm going to wait because right now I'm starting to get confused and I'm starting to contemplate what the fuck is going on. And then because of, for me personally, again, once that happens, now I know you're not capable of being a man. In my book, you're not a man. The minute you are brushing off something important or you're reacting, I don't give a shit about whatever it is. You go to therapy. I'm not interrogating you. I'm going to sit down silently as I decide how I want to move. Because that's emotional maturity. I won't project any when I'm confused, it means my body needs to sit in silence. Breathe. Okay, let me contemplate what I'm seeing, what I'm thinking, what I want to address. Let me do it in a way that I'm calm and collected and gathered with my thoughts so that I can present what is going to be a conversation. That is a functional adult, okay? It's because I'm not going to accuse you of anything. I won't come and say you're emotionally unavailable, you're a liar. No, none of that. I will not say any of it. This is not necessary. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to lecture you. I'm trying to talk to you. Okay, what's sad, I'm going to say, when I think of people who don't realize, and again, I say sad because I'm a conscious lover. I'm not a person who will get invested in anything without having... thought it through. If I want to use my time with you, it's because I'm cherishing it. So the minute I start to get confused, I know that we don't have the same idea or feeling of each other, which is you are you. So that's something that is fair and square, because I have an emotional subjective experience, as do you. And confusion doesn't mean I'm not worthy. No, it just means something is needing to be addressed and recalibrated. So I'm going to come in to figure this out. In one way, shape, or form, I'm going to me, the person who is a conscious lover, come to figure out, and I will recalibrate. When you have people who are emotionally unavailable in a way of taking accountability, their mannerisms does not change how I will come to you, because I'm seeking a conversation. I'm not seeking a match. No, I want us to talk. And I will continue to try and get to clarity. That's it. That's all I'm going to do, is I'm going to get to the clarity that I know that I need, because you don't care about what I need. That's going to be made clear the first time that you dismiss conversing with me as a human being. And, you know, at the end of the day, what I'm going to say, every time I speak about people who don't know how to talk, it reminds me of how many people seriously have need for EMDR, child parts work, and just somatics. Because seriously, oh my gosh, do people not know how to be empowered? Men, women, you name it. Anytime I explain this. So let's move from that, which is a bunch of individuals who want to act like they're badass. And I thank my attachment and trauma information people so that I can be aware of my body, not to engage with any of that mentally and to put into practice. You just met a body that is not emotionally available. So how about you allow yourself to remember that? Oh, you're not building shit. They can't. They don't know how to build shit. A person who doesn't know themselves can't build. They're not even walking. They're not talking. They're not doing anything. So long story short, it's not a conversation. It won't be anything that the people that are unconscious will remember, FYI, because they don't take ownership or accountability. I remember I read this sentence. What was it? If I could go back, you know, those people, if I could go back to yesterday and do it all over again, I would completely marry you. You're perfect. You're my match. I love everything you are. And something like that, right? So those are those fantasy moments. But when you're a person who is not a person that lives in your teenage version, you're not speaking words from, you know, the air. So what I'm trying to say is a person whose healthy self-worth will hear words and will hear and read and engage and take you seriously. So it's the minute that you contradict, if you say something like, I want us to be exclusive, and then you contradict, now you just slap me kind of thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? So today we have information that can help us identify that. But you still need the time to see and then the talking to clarify. And so in my instance, I can only tell you I have learned how to ask questions. I consistently have always asked, and whenever you get a person who's not a grown-up, you will not get a clear answer. You will get a projected, indirect, passive-aggressive human being. The minute that I have ever gotten any of that, I will not be a person who doesn't say what's on my mind if I'm thinking that we were building. And it's the moment that I realize, oh shit, okay, so we're not building. What is an actual intimate relationship doesn't have to be established. Solo poly, we have relationship anarchy, non-hierarchical. I don't give titles to people, especially once I got my twin flames, because that's the part. It expanded every single one of not only my bonds to where I perceive my oversoul when my twin flames or soulmates go through things. So I'm in a constant mode of being connected to my loved ones. And I don't mind it. I'm not confused by it. I know their energetic imprint. And I don't engage with any of the ones who are unavailable to themselves because they're unavailable to healing their inner child. So they don't want to talk. They actually want to keep hiding. And the buffoonery stuff, okay, with themselves, not me. I mean, I'm not somebody who doesn't know how to work with Cuscos. I'm always around Cuscos. The ones who are Pachas and or Pachas in the making will be clear because they will be able to treat you the way that they will want to be treated. So they won't hide from, hey, you know what? Yes, we're going to talk right now. Actually, I'm coming. Here I am. Oh my gosh, the way that people will actually think that they're badass and then they won't talk. See, I'm going to end with this. Already as a teenager, I dealt with the boyfriend who consistently showed me how his lying was his fear of being rejected. And then as a young adult, from my one friend, that is the one that I didn't talk to for 5 years, I realized from him that any human being that acts like he does, so any asshole, any pompous, arrogant, I saw year after year many things as I got older, and anybody who acts like a pompous dick is like the dog that barks that don't bite. That's all I'm going to say. So I feel bad for you. One. Then I say, no, I won't feel bad. That's disrespectful. I'm going to not feel bad for you because you're actually actively thinking of yourself in a way that you're not. And you're actually treating me in a way that is not even, you know, so there's a bunch of things that I'm just going to like, why would I waste any of my brain power on you? So I learned with buffoons, I don't waste my brain because the minute that you are a contradiction, you're a person that just used my time. You're not going to become aware of it. You're not going to take ownership. You don't even take ownership of yourself. If you did, then you'd have actual balls to have what is a conversation. When it comes to men, I have an issue because I'm a woman. I'm told that I'm a woman. I don't know strength or whatever the bullshit stuff is. And I'm a 4'9" woman. So the reality is my body knows I'm weaker than any man that will ever be on this planet. And I have one of my friends like, but you don't know that. I'm like, yeah, I know that. Let's not kid ourselves, please. And so if I really wanted to speak to the face of the buffoon man, what I think, it would be offensive to the extent of where I know it would hit that broken-hearted 3-year-old. I don't want to do that. You need a good therapist, not somebody to present to you any of what you won't even take ownership of, but you would rather justify the ability to hit me, and you would do that versus understand that you have done something that is of emotional cowardice. I'm just saying so the thoughts of a woman are not about what I hear out there. For me, any man who wants to tell me they think they have balls, well, go get your emotional shit together. Then come to me and tell me about balls. Other than that, I'm going to stay away from you. And whenever I've had important conversations, and I don't try this almost at all because I seriously have, I have one of my man friends that I know I can talk to him about anything. Other than that, it's all like, do I want to test it out today? No, I really don't. But I have this other person. I thought that they were empowered in a certain way because they're very philosophical, they're very intellectual, and they're very, you know, in depth. And as soon as we got into a very good conversation, lo and behold, they're getting all pissy and upset and insecure in their pants. And that was the minute that I had to shut it down because I'm not going to go there because I'm looking to actually explore a concept and topic from the entirety of it, to support a expanding conversation. And that can only happen if I have healthy, self-worth men. When you have men who don't have their inner child in the forefront, so they're not yet healed, they don't have the capacity to actually go in depth on gender stereotypes so that we can explore them. And what we really want to see, by the way, men, women, and theys, are people like us, the healthy self-worth, who have these types of conversations. We need to show what it's like for people to not have sensitive egos about very important topics and to move beyond what have become the norm, which are things like this. Where's my book? Misanthropy, people who hate, dislike, or distrust humankind, misandry, hatred of men, misogyny, hatred of women, and involves sexism and misogamists, people who hate, avoid, or oppose marriage. These are what I see. When somebody's looking up how to get back with their avoidant ex by using no contact, what the fuck? You're manipulating? Seriously? You have no healthy self-worth. The minute you know somebody's avoidant, you should know you need a therapist. That's it. I'm not your therapist. And if I need a therapist, then I'm going to go to a therapist. If I'm going to want to instead do what the human suffering love women do, Maria, come. Help me. Decipher for me this person's behavior, this attitude. And I told him, so I've gotten the past years women who come to me with everything and anything. And I'm like, okay, attachment, you know, and they consistently just want to not use the fact that this is a person who's not available. And here's why, the whole addiction. So they're addicted. Yet somebody's explaining to them how they can use their brain and they're hearing it. They don't want the therapy. No, I don't need it. No, they're the assholes. Okay, so here's the deal. You either learn to handle your emotional mental plane like a grown-up or go to good therapy. But when you see them acting like Elsa on that journey, I'm a superhero. They're a supervillain. I know everything. They're not. This is where the conversations go. So it's people who don't know how to actually romance anyone, let alone talk, let alone actually be serious about what we can do to bring men and women and theys, so any person, to emotional maturity, which FYI is why divine feminine, divine masculines, we don't need a key. I met a 4D person who thinks they're a key to something. We need people to learn. Movies show you one, maladaptive, bad childhood behavior, meaning the whole shame cycle, the inner critic, outer critic, the fucking, the drugging, the drinking, that's not cool. One. Two, we don't need to talk about cheating and betrayal in the way of the scarlet letter times. We can talk about polyamory. We can also talk about how to handle yourself if cheating happens and go, again, good therapy. So there's so many different ways conversations can be created. What we see online are people that are using the shame, blame, fault, and revenge. So they use their pain points because they're seeking information also based on their pain point, their fear. Oh, how do I get a man back or a woman back or a they back that left me because they don't have secure attachment? And I really, really want them. And the 4D, they just read to you, oh, you have twin flames or soulmates or divines, which they completely have botched this whole shit up, because a twin flame is a twin flame. Soulmates are soulmates. And there's not a need to organize people that are from your oversoul the way they're doing, but those people want to have that secure attachment. You know, their 0-1-year-old is seeking confirmation that you're going to be with them forever. Because, see, it's not only about the 1-year-old to have a 1 year for the child at this point. No, what you have is a 0-1-year-old in the emotional grown-up person who wants to feel seen and soothed to be safe and to be secure. So that's why monoamory and monogamy is the most popular. Yes, we have cultural, all that, but physiologically, what I'm bringing to you right now as we close on out, it's because people want to feel that they can consistently be supported in those stressful moments, because that's what happens to your nervous system when you're upset. And when I hug you and we've created a sex drive, an intense romantic love and attachment, I will be able to be your safe haven, secure base. So it's something straightforward for Mystic, I will tell you, our oversoul. We know the energetic imprint of the people that are part of our oversoul. We don't give them labels because that's not what's going to work for a 5D mystic and for a polyamory person. The monoamory will pick someone, they can get married, they can find a good therapist, all of it can work out. And that's where we're at right now. Emotional maturity is in the forefront. It's really great to see people learning how healthy self-work works. For the ones who don't choose it, it's, we have more time to discuss. So we'll be back with more. Have a great one.